right, good. I'm going to be in the in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. I do believe the Lord wants me to preach the other part of this message tonight. So if you'd like to get the other part of this message on depression, which is really the how to get out of depression and what to do about it, and tonight at 6 p.m. we'll be there. And we'll kind of mix, I'll kind of blend into that this morning. We're talking about a sound mind. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, as the Bible says. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 7, 8. I think 2 Timothy 1, 7 is the verse on the sound mind. And God cares about our minds and our emotions. And they're all part of the spiritual warfare. They're part of the spiritual life. And I'm going to be in Matthew 26 this morning, but the Bible has a lot to say about these things. And we'll get into the war on the mind maybe next Sunday morning. But Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Heavy is a good Bible word for depression, by the way. Heaviness. Okay? And then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Then he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, Why couldest ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink of it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them, and went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And he cometh to the disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand which doth betray me, that doth betray me. Let's pray. Lord, may the word of God be clear and powerful today. Lord, may we understand. And Lord, may works that have been done in our minds by Satan for decades, by the secular world, by worldly thinking, be done away with, and may we be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and may your spirit help us to grasp these truths. May we understand this, and may we have it combated, Lord, and understand the whole concept of depression, what it does and what it doesn't do, and what we should do with it, Lord, and whatever else you have. We pray for power. We pray for your spirit. I yield myself to you. Hide me behind the cross and speak your words and give us the truth and help us in these things, Father. We need your help, Lord. We need to see clearly and think clearly. So please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus here admits and says, Hey, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wow. That's depressed. Depression comes in many different forms, but the deepest depression takes you to where you want to die. You feel like you're going to die, or you want to die, one of the two, and that happens in the Bible just like it does today. The human condition is not that much different. We still have ups and downs and are affected by some things more and more. And Jesus admits severe depression to God the Father. And to his disciples. And he talks about that. There's chapters we'll read that'll talk about depression later. And David talking about it. And many people pray about it and talk to God about it. And Jesus tells his disciples openly. He says, Hey, my soul is sorrowful, even to death, and I want you to pray for me because I'm really sorrowful. Even to death, to die. I mean, it's bad. And he tells them that. And then, if you've ever been depressed. It seems like it comes in when it rains, it pours. And he says, "Hey guys, I'm about to die. I'm so depressed." And he says, "Please pray for me." And he goes and prays and comes back and they're sleeping. Sometimes when you need people and you think you have to have them, that's when they let you down the most. Why? Because humans are humans. And if your hope is in humanity, you had a kind of a frail hope there. And they were tired and weary and they fell asleep on him when he said, "I need you to pray for me." I mean, can you imagine that? But listen, there are times when you get so tired, you can't stay awake. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he tells them to pray for him. Jesus was tested in all points like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. So I want to understand, Jesus was tested with severe depression. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Depression is very powerful. The word depression, it's depress something, push something down. Heaviness is very powerful. And it can deeply affect you, and it can affect anyone. I've been depressed before. I was depressed when I was a kid because of the way my family and home was. But I've been depressed since I've been serving God. And I had two spells, I don't know what the time period was, but it was lengthy, of severe depression when I was pastor. And in the ministry, well, no, I think about one was in Bible college and one was in a pastor. Now, those things did not always correlate with how things are going. Because depression doesn't always just, it isn't always circumstance. Depression's a strange thing. Human emotions are strange things. They are not always logical. We'll read some verses on that a little bit later. I'm just giving you some introduction about depression a little bit and things about that. I was somewhere else and I was in a pastor, well-known pastor, very successful pastor, took me to lunch, and guy's ministry was thriving, and guy had a lot going for him and a lot of great things, and we went to lunch and we started over lunch and he started talking, and he talked for an hour and a half, and not only was he in severe depression, he was going to commit suicide, and he already had the plan how to do it. And he says, "You can't tell anybody." He says, "But I already got to figure it out, the whole thing." And you know, God's giving a ministry with pastors and helping pastors. And when he told me why he was depressed, none of it made sense. It was just like, understand, I knew by then, I was a little smarter than I was when I first started. I didn't say, "Listen, this doesn't make any sense. You should be depressed. Knock it off." I didn't do that because, understand, a lot of it is spiritual oppression, a lot of it's strange things, and a lot of it doesn't make sense, and sometimes you can't explain it, and he couldn't explain it very well to me, and I said, "Listen, man, I've been depressed," and I said, at the end, I said, "I'm not going to tell you I know what you're going through, I just said, we love you and we need you, just think of your family before you do that, and somebody's got to find the body," and I said, "You know, let's just stay in touch," and eventually I was able to do some things, and he was able to get out of it, and he's thriving and doing great now. But it can happen to you when you don't expect it, and when you don't know, and it can happen to people you would never think would be depressed. You know, a lot of the people you see, and you see in Hollywood, and a lot of people you see who are famous and on stage and acting and smiling and look like they're having a great time. You know, a lot of people are in severe depression. They are so medicated to deal with that stuff. Your circumstances won't always keep you from depression. Famous rich people kill themselves often. Okay? And by the way, the truth is, I was, for one day, praise the Lord, just graciousness, Brother Philbert insisted that he put me into this nice hotel. I was there for 3 days we were in a regular hotel. But his church member is like a manager there, and so he gets this just bare bottom rate. So I went to a 5-star hotel. Everybody say, ooh. That never happened before, it never happened since. I mean, five-star hotel. Boy, I was in that place. Now, all week long, I'm around pastors and poor people and people. They are all smiles, the big Caribbean smile. Hello, brother, how are you? And in this five-star hotel, you know who's there? Americans and Europeans. And you know what they were? Miserable, griping people. Miserable. The orange juice machine was out. You should have seen them. You'd have thought they just got all their toes amputated. Excuse me, this machine does not work. And gripe, I mean, it's like 35,000 drinks in a row. But they wanted orange juice at that time. And multiple ones of them griping. And rudely, get on it. Come on, when are you going to fix it? I mean, just, they were the miserable people on the island, and they're in the five-star hotel. Free massages, all-you-can-eat buffet, drinks everywhere of any kind you want, on the beach, water slides, a pool with a whole pools and canals going all around the property you could float in, segways all over, fancy stuff. Miserable people. Bratty kids. Couldn't handle the kids around. Like, these are brats. Give me back out of them. Give me the cheap hotel. These people are grumpy. You know, circumstances. Little kids in the third world kicking around a soccer ball in a rock field are happier than the kids with their iPads. They just are. See, I want to say, depression doesn't have always to do with circumstances. Sometimes it does. You have a loved one pass away unexpectedly. I mean, there's a lot of things that throw in depression. I'm going to give you some thoughts on depression. I'm just introducing you. This message is basically understanding depression. Number one, depression in itself is not sin. Super important. Really easy to prove. Jesus just said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even in a death. Yet the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Being depressed is not sinful. But a lot of people get depressed, think, oh, I did something wrong. God's disappointed in me, and I shouldn't be down. I shouldn't be depressed. No, Jesus was depressed. It's part of the human condition. Here's a list of some people who the Bible specifically goes into detail about their severe depression. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, David, Asaph, Paul, Job. Job was called perfect. Jesus was perfect. David was a man after God's own heart. Moses was a man chosen to keep God's country alive. And all of them fell on their faces. Said, Moses says, better that I just take me now. Elijah says, better for me to die than to live. Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. But listen, you live in a society in America where they act like something's broken in you if you're depressed. You're suffering from depression. You're suffering from clinical depression. You're bipolar. You're this, that. But you know what? Part of life is part of the human spectrum is being depressed sometimes, being down sometimes. Listen, you're crazy if bad things happen and you go, ah, this is great. That's loony. Okay? That's not normal. Okay? You don't rejoice. You rejoice in the Lord always, but you don't rejoice in every circumstance. In everything, give thanks, not for everything. And we'll get to that stuff another week. But understand, when bad things happen, hey, when they started persecuting the church, they went and cried out to God and said, Lord, we are scared. Give us boldness. What are we going to do? They're threatening us. They're going to put us in jail and kill us. And they prayed because they needed God. And they had these things. Don't think because you get depressed, you're bad. Now, everybody struggles with different sins. There are certain people more given to depression. Just like certain people are more given to anger. Okay? There are certain people who are more compassionate. There's people in here who would say, I would never see a person hurt and they're in need and not help them and not cry because they're tender-hearted. That same person who has that great gift of compassion where someone else can drive by or not care or say they got what you deserved, that person is more emotional by nature. That means they might get depressed more often. And that's okay. Sometimes you're going to be down. It's part of the normal spectrum of emotions. If you only had mountains, you wouldn't have any valleys, but the mountains wouldn't be mountains. Okay? Do you know things grow better in valleys? Go pick the flowers on top of Mount Rainier. And you'll find that you grow more in those valleys. When you get depressed, you draw nearer to God if you're a Christian. And you'll find God nearer to you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's part of the whole spectrum of emotions. God does not say our emotions aren't going to be all over the place. Your emotions are affected by all kinds of things besides circumstances. They're affected profoundly by physiological and chemical things. You don't get enough sunlight, your emotions are going to be down. It's called vitamin D. If I drink too much caffeine, I can run around the world and then collapse. And you don't want to meet me after I have too much caffeine. Too much sugar. You'll find yourself down a lot if you have too much sugar. You just will. If you eat good, you'll just find yourself generally feeling better. Some people, we had someone moved here from Texas, I think it was, and they came here and they could not handle the clouds. They were so depressed. They finally said, "I got to move out of here. I'm gonna kill myself. I hate this place. It's too dark and miserable." They couldn't handle. It's funny. I had someone who just moved here recently, and it had rained like 10 days in a row. And they asked me. They said, "When is it gonna stop raining?" I said, May. And they said, "I hope you're joking." I said, "There'll be a few sunny days in there." Because you know what? It affects you. Sunny days, everybody's more chipper. You ever notice people drive faster on sunny days? It just, people, there's a lot of things going on in your body, and that's all God designed our body, and that's all fine. And by the way, sometimes I'll go into somebody who's depressed, and people who are depressed, so often they sit in a dark house and they pull every shade closed. Don't have time to get into it. When you're depressed and when the devil's oppressing you the most, what you do is isolate yourself. And you isolate yourself. And I've walked in houses and I'm going, I'm generally a very optimistic person. Just in general, it's kind of my, I don't look like it. I'm kind of level, but I'm actually usually excited and enjoying things and looking forward to things. I walk into some houses, I mean, every shade is down, no lights are on, doors are closed, and people are sitting there going, "It's so depressing." And I say, "I'm depressed. I'm opening your shades." "Oh, don't do that." "No, I'm doing it." "It's too dark in here. You come here. You're going to go for a walk. Get out of this place, man. It's a tomb." Because that's what people do when they're depressed. They tend towards darkness. Try to get in, people who are depressed in a bright room. They get very uncomfortable, by the way. It's all, and it's the reasons for all that. And you find out that just them getting fresh air and going for a walk, and there's a whole bunch of things you can do, and I'm not getting into what you can do to fix depression right now. I'm just saying depression comes from a lot of factors. It's part of the normal condition. Sometimes you don't know why you're depressed. Let's look at causes for these men of God in the Bible. Jesus was depressed because he was going to be separated from the Father and take the sins of the world on him. The cross was coming. Hannah was depressed because she couldn't have a boy, couldn't have a child. And the other wife was mocking her the whole time. Elijah felt like a failure, so he got depressed. David did not have any idea why he's depressed in some of his writing. Sometimes it was because of his enemies. Sometimes he had no idea why. Solomon became depressed because he tried everything in life without God and came up empty and realized life is hopeless and empty without God. And he became depressed. Paul was depressed because of endless persecution and trouble. Asaph felt like his doing of good things in life was not being rewarded, and that he did all the good he did for no reason. Job was depressed. He had pretty good reasons. His whole family died in one day, lost all of his animals, his crops, his everything, and his wife said, curse God and die. And he was depressed because of circumstances. But he also talked a whole bunch about, in the book of Job, about, I look around and I cannot see God and why he's doing this. It wasn't just his circumstances, also, where is God? And that'll depress you sometimes when the Lord just hides his face from you. There's a lot of things that can depress you and have you. Let me take you to Psalms now. People think Psalms is all praise. Psalms has some very dark Psalms where people were very depressed. And I'm glad that the Lord did that to help us understand that. That good people went through these things. Oh, Psalm 42. Let's go there. Psalm 42. And the psalmist has no idea why. He's depressed. Let's start at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I had went with them to the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude of them that kept holy day. As I went to the great places and the upbeat places, but my tears are what I'm living with. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. I'm depressed. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the Milzar. Deep calleth in the deep, the noise of thy water spouts, and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer to the God of my life. Now look at him, he's trying to get himself back up. God is going to be with me, and I'm going to go. I'm going to sing praises to my God, and I'm going to go into God's house. But then he says, verse 11 again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He's talking to his soul. For I shall yet praise him who is my help, who is my hope and my God. Chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's so depressed that he says, my tears are my meat night and day, and people are mocking me, and I do not know why I am so depressed. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted to me? Hope thou in God, he's telling himself, who is the help of your salvation. You're going to praise him in the future. So he's over here in depression. He says, I don't know why I'm depressed. You know, why? What's wrong with you? Why are you depressed? Hope in God. You're going to praise him. Now, at this point, David, the psalmist here, he says, David had the wisdom to know that things were going to get better, although right now he was depressed, even though he didn't know why. So he's telling him, just hope in God, because it's going to get better someday. And he knew that, though he's depressed, and he couldn't shake the depression. He was trying to be logical because he knew his depression wasn't logical. And after a while, once you get some wisdom from the Bible and experience these things, you can kind of see when you're going through the depression, and you'll kind of know, you know, I know this isn't that big a deal, but it seems like the biggest deal in the world. After we look back and say, why did that make such a big deal? That really wasn't that big a deal. But when you're in depression, one of the things someone did for me one time when I was depressed, and it helped me so much, he made me list what was wrong. And I got really embarrassed. It really was dumb. It came down to I'd lost a set of keys, and I didn't have time to study for my tests, I was in college, and somehow in my mind, that meant I was going to flunk out of college and never do anything with God, and that was God didn't love me. It was just, it didn't make any sense. Why? Because, boy, one little failure and you can go into a tailspin? You ever talk to somebody that? They messed up one thing, and you've messed up 20,000 times more than them and worse than them, and they think their life's over? And you're going, ah, man, that's not that big a deal. Don't tell them that, okay? It is to them right now. The devil's throwing it in their face, and that's all they can see. But it doesn't always make sense. Because it's part of the normal thing. Humans are unstable. This world is unstable. Sometimes you do not know why you're depressed. Sometimes your depression is demonic. In Saul's case, he was very depressed and his soul was very troubled and in turmoil. And it was an evil spirit, the Bible says, troubling him. And when David would come with his harp, it would remove the demons and lift his spirits. And we'll probably touch on that tonight a little bit. And so sometimes it's demonic, sometimes it's life, sometimes it's physiological, sometimes it's bad things really happen. But understand, it's not sin. Some people are darker people by nature. It's their disposition. And they need to be hopeful, they need to have joy and all those things. But those people also sometimes are better prayers. They have the heartbeat for broken lives, and they have a heart for souls and for people who are hurting, and they dwell on other people's problems, and they pray for people more sometimes. Sometimes it just makes them, they're just self-pity. But sometimes people are just, we're all wired a little differently, and some of us are more optimistic. Some people spend their whole life avoiding ever getting depressed. And they never get very happy either, usually. They just spend their whole life trying to dodge it. It's just part of the deal. It's part of the human existence, but it's very powerful and can affect you very deeply. So you got to be careful. Number one, depression is not sin. Number two, constant depression will destroy you. Book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Let me just give you some verses here. The chronic depression or constant depression will destroy you. And by the way, I want to say this. I do not believe there's anybody who has to live in the defeat of depression for their whole life. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us. You can always rejoice in the end. You can always have hope. God never gives you a temptation you cannot handle. And it is a sin not to rejoice and not to have love and joy and peace. There are seasons of trials and it's harder, but every Christian can come into victory and it is not hopeless for anybody. Constant depression will destroy you. Proverbs chapter 15. And verse 13 says this, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. When you have too much depression for too long, the Bible says overmuch sorrow, it tells you that it wounds your spirit, it breaks your spirit, it makes it so you cannot function well. Let me take you to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13 and verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy exalt over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Too much sorrow breaks your spirit. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and chapter 2. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, and verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. Now this is Solomon talking about after he'd lived in all the pleasure of the world and did everything he wanted to do, and then he got to the end and said, I hated life. It's all a waste. Listen, hating life is getting pretty dangerous. Okay, suicidal, not wanting to. And we read several people here who hate life and are getting to their end. You need to come up for air in your depression. Now, there are seasons of depression. I needed to go through some depression in Bible college. I needed to go through that depression. It would prepare me for the ministry here. I would not have made it in the ministry here when I started the church and went through all the struggles and intense battles and everything at the start of the church. I would not have made it if I wouldn't have gone through depression in Bible college. It was very good for me. It was necessary for me. It was prolonged. I think I probably had a year and a half of depression. It was very prolonged. It was very tough. It was a tough battle. But there was joys in there sometime. It wasn't the, I hate life, everybody's terrible, I don't like people, everything's going to go bad for the rest of my life. That, the hopelessness is not depression. And if you stay in hopelessness and in the severe depression and you never have joy, you never come out of it and you never rejoice, you never thank God and you never trust God and you never say, you know what, I got heaven to look forward to and you never come out of it, you are in great danger. Because depression can make you grow and valleys can make you grow, but if you just keep going down forever, it's just a cliff, not a valley. So realize you cannot live there forever. If you're going to keep dwelling on the same negative things for the rest of your life, you're going to be destroyed. Your spirit will be broken. And when your spirit is your strength and your attitude and your ability, I'm going to go do this, it'll break and you will just eventually lay down and say, I'm not going to try anymore. When your spirit is broken. I've watched it happen to people. I've watched people when their spirit is broken, and then all they can do is lay around and say, I can never be normal. I can never have a good life. I'm just going to let the government take care of me, and I'm just going to lay here, and I'm just going to, and it's going to be bad, and I don't have the same opportunity. It's not fair, and I have this and this, and they can tell you everything wrong with their life and nothing right. And they become very pathetic and never do anything and very empty, and it's very sad. And by the way, if they thought that them being able to just lay around and do nothing would take them out of their depression, that's the worst thing you can do. Can I tell you something? Laying around all day, not accomplishing anything, and watching daytime TV is not going to bring you out of depression. Jerry Springer doesn't make you normal. Okay? It's a nightmare. I wish the government would never do that to anybody. We brought them out of that, but we've also had people who got a little depressed and very quickly, boom, Medicaid, boom, disability, boom, go home, lay around, do nothing, gain weight, get back problems because you don't get up and move at all. And boy, just watch them snowball into the end of life. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. Once you get your spirit broken because all you do is dwell on the negative, the Bible says think on the good things, the honest things, the just things, and good report, and praise. Can I tell you, everybody has something to praise about. Everybody does. But you cannot live constantly. I'm not saying you'll visit depression, it's okay. I know a good guy, a good pastor right now who's in depression. He's told me, and he's going to be just fine. And he's in the will of God, and he's helping people, and God's using him. But it's just sometimes you have to go through it. But it is not your life. It's a season. Now, we got to be able to kick this thing and get out of it sometimes. But depression that's constant can destroy you. It's like it's okay to be underwater. Just don't be underwater for too long. Okay? The results of constant depression range from bitterness, despondency, grumpiness, hopelessness, all the way down to suicide. So you don't want to live there. You know, the people who are depressed, and I don't understand it, but they want to stay depressed. You say, nobody wants, yes, they do, trust me. There are people who want to stay depressed. You will try to give them solutions, and you will turn blue in the face, and you'll just realize they don't want help. They're running around in it. They're getting sympathy for it. and listen, we've saved multiple people from killing themselves and done that. There are some people who use suicide as a tool to get attention. and to get money and to get bailed out of their trouble. And people who do that, and you got to have real wisdom when you deal with them, because a lot of them aren't going to do that. They're just controlling you. They control people with their depression. They don't want out of it. And by the way, I don't counsel with those people anymore. I'll just tell them, listen, I can help you. I have the answers for you. The Bible has the answers. You don't seem to want to do anything, and you don't seem to want the solution. You really want to be in a position where it's so bad that you can never get out of it. So I'm going to let you do that. And if you ever want out of it, just let me know. Pastors get sued for that stuff. Somebody won't do anything, and somebody who just wants to be depressed and they won't stop being depressed. I just tell them, listen, I'm in the business of fixing. If you want to just roll around in it and me to say just how bad your depression is, I'm a solution person. I'm pragmatic. I like to fix things. And it works. But people don't always want that. Some people want to stay there. They like to everybody to feel how sorry they are for them, and they'll one-up you with their troubles. And if you don't think it's bad enough, they'll start making up troubles for themselves. If you don't say, oh, you poor thing, it's terrible for you. Listen, the people with real troubles sometimes, they don't tell anybody, and the people with small troubles magnify their small troubles and never stop talking about them. So they're depressed too, and their problems aren't that big. How many of you had things in your life, you have troubles where if you wanted to dwell on long enough, you could probably get depressed? How many of you have that? Probably every one of us. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're really blessed. You know that? I don't believe you. Your arm's too heavy. So realize that constant depression will destroy you. Number three. Remember, there is hope if you have the Lord. Let's go back to Psalms. Remember, there is hope if you have the Lord. Now, I want to give you all the solutions to depression, but I don't have time. Just make it. Don't kill yourself for the next service, all right? Psalm 42 and verse 5. Look at the depressed guy. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. That's hope. For the help of his countenance. He says this four different times. I shall yet praise him. Even though I'm depressed. Verse 11. Chapter 43, verse 5. He says this. I shall yet praise him. It'll be okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 says, do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Listen. We have sorrows in this world. That's part of this world, okay? We're in a sin-cursed world. It's not perfect. Now, we're in a pretty blessed situation, a pretty blessed country, and we're most of us have a lot of things we should be thankful for. But in this world, we're going to have sorrow. The thing about it is, as a Christian, you can say, yes, I'm having sorrow, but ultimately, look what the future is. I'm going to be in heaven someday. He says, God's going to give me the help of his countenance. God's going to look upon me again and cause his face to shine upon me again. I know that. I've been through this before where I was hopeless, and I don't know why I'm even depressed right now, but I am. But I'm going to praise God again, and God's going to look on me. That hope is the very thing that makes it so you come out of depression and can make it in depression. Now, here's the really important, one of the things I'm trying to say, the really important thing is, but you're okay while you're in depression if you have hope. It's like you fall into the water and you say, I'm underwater, I fell in, oops, but I can swim. In other words, as soon as I can get above water, I'll be okay. You have the hope. You know you can be okay. You know God will sustain you, but you're still depressed. Okay, I'm depressed. I'm not wicked because of this. I'm not hopeless because of this. I don't have to live here the rest of my life. I have a God. I am not going to sorrow as those who have no hope. I know that that loved one who died I'm going to see them again in that 1 Thessalonians reference. It's like that. Let me show you. John 14. That's what sustains you. So you got to realize that it's okay to be depressed. It's okay. Why? Because Because if you do not understand it's okay to be depressed sometimes, you will make a bunch of mistakes. One, the devil will tell you you're messed up, and that makes you more depressed. Number two, our society has no idea because they think that something's wrong if you're depressed. For a while, for a week or a month or something, you're depressed. They think that something's wrong with you, so they try to fix you, and the solution is worse than the problem. They want to put you in antidepressants. You go and say, something's wrong with me, so I better entertain myself into oblivion. And you just sit there and watch TV and play video games and everything to try to escape. You start drinking. And you try all these things. You say, something's wrong with me. I can't be depressed, because if I'm depressed, something's bad. It's like my engine knocking. I'm about to break. No, you're down. It's hard. It hurts. It's terrible. It's sad. But that's okay. You can live that way for a while. It's okay. Do not let it make you do all these things. Listen, you understand. Can I really simplify this with you? If you go and they give you antidepressants because you're depressed for a minute, understand, somebody has severe physical brain problems. I understand there's situations that are real severe, and sometimes they have to take somebody who's in a panic attack. I understand those kind of things, but not someone who's been depressed for a couple months. Because then all of a sudden, you inhibit certain chemicals in your brain. Don't have time to get into it. What happens? Okay, here's the bad things. Here's your depression. And here's your positive, and all of a sudden they take these chemicals in your brains out, and what happens? You shrink down your emotions, yes. And you will not feel as depressed anymore. Matter of fact, you might not even feel like dealing with some of your problems. Because the natural reaction to make you worry about something is not working. And you don't pay your bills. I've seen that stuff. But also, you don't get real happy. And your child says, we had the grandchild to go. That's great. And you've also lost a lot. When you weren't in that big of trouble, you were just under typical human depression. Listen, do you understand the rest of the world makes it without antidepressants somehow? Do you know 50 years ago they made it somehow? The human, and by the way, I could take you to people who should be severely depressed who have, go with me to Haiti. People who should be severely depressed and are just fine. Because we cannot shake certain things. And then the thing about it is, if they would just take somebody and temporarily get them on something because they just had 20 terrible disasters in a row happen to them, you're just not coping. Let's calm you down for a month or two and then wean you off this. That would be different. But then they label you. And now you're this and you have to do this forever. You're going to be like this. And you're never going to have, you'll be normal. Baloney. You can be normal if you want to be normal. You have a great life, you want to have a great life. You're not broken because you're down. Okay? Listen, you're okay. Remember to have hope, though. John 14 will probably hit too. And verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrows shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is travailed, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man-child is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, good news? Hey, I'm going to die. It's going to be bad. You're going to have sorrow. And everybody's going to laugh and rejoice while you're weeping because of what happened to me. And I'm going to leave you for a while. And you're going to weep and lament. you're going to be depressed. But don't worry, because I'm coming back. And I'm going to give you joy. No, that joy no man can take from you. And you'll be just fine. So the depression period is okay. It makes the joy period so much better. I would love to. I wouldn't do it. I would love to ask some people who lately have gotten much better in your health. Boy, your health feels way better because it was so bad before. You know, a person who never had health problems doesn't know how good it feels just to not feel pain. They just say, oh, yeah, I feel normal. When you get some kind of chronic pain and all of a sudden it's gone, you feel like, oh, man, I feel good. And that's what depression can do for you. You can realize how good your life usually is. You can say, you know, today's a good day. You can say, oh, praise the Lord, I can walk today. Or you can say, praise the Lord, I'm alive today. Or praise the Lord, I feel good today. You know, I've learned to thank God for good health while I have it. I've learned to enjoy good health while I have good health, from watching people with bad health and from having a few issues. See, depression's not that bad a thing. But our society says, you're down, we need to do something about this. What's wrong with you? Are you okay? No, if you're down for years at a time and you're always down and you're always, everything's bad, look at this, terrible, this is going to go wrong, this is bad, look at this is terrible, they probably didn't mean that, listen, if you're Eeyore, okay, and you walk around, there's a cloud over you all the time, and everything's going to go wrong, then there's something wrong, okay? You should rejoice, you should have joy. Overmuch sorrow can ruin you, but remember to have hope in the Lord. John 14, let not your heart be, verse 1, let your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. Why? You have hope. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Let me take you back to one more person in depression. Back to 1 Kings. So, you can be right in the will of God and be depressed for a while. And don't look down on people who get depressed if you're happy-go-lucky. You'll be there someday. And you know what? They're just going through something. Doesn't mean they're doing wrong. It just means things. They're just going through something right now. It's okay. 1 Kings 19, verse 3, it says, when he saw that he arose, this is Elijah, great man of God, he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Boy, this guy just had a great victory, and he just went, and he says, I might as well just die. It wasn't logical. Now, I want to say, when you're depressed, don't do what he did. So we're controlling depression. We are saying, you know what, okay, I'm depressed, but it's okay. I'm okay, I'm still normal, and I can still have hope. I'm going to have hope in God in the future. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to count my blessings. I'm still down, I don't understand it. Why that was disquiet on my soul? I'm okay. I'm controlling depression. I'm going to feel so much better when I come out of this. I am logicking through this. I'm saying I got hope, and I'm thinking about heaven, and I'll never sorrow again. Here he is saying, I should die. I'm so worthless. And one of the things that depresses you is when you begin to get depressed, the devil kind of snowballs it, saying, yeah, you're really messed up. There's no hope for you. You can't do anything right. And then you get really hopeless. I made so little sense. I remember I was out, way out in Haiti, way out, and there was a bunch of voodoo people there, and where I was, and they had marched through in front of the house where I was, and done a bunch of things, and I was laying there in bed, and pretty stable. I'm pretty stable. I was in Haiti. I love going to Haiti. I love going to these countries. And God uses me there in some pretty amazing ways that are way over my head, and to rejoice in those things. And I was laying there in bed, and all of a sudden, just beyond depression came upon me. It was total despondency and despair came on me. And I started thinking, I am the worst failure in the world. What am I doing here? Why did I come here? I'm not doing anything. And I couldn't explain to you why I thought that. God had been using me. And I laid there and I said, and I mean, it was so satanic and so intense and so enforced. And honestly, I thought, I should just go back to the States and resign the church. I'm hopeless. I'm the worst, pathetic. It was so strange. And I was sitting there thinking, this doesn't make any sense. But it sure feels real. I really am. Because that's what can happen. And it lasted until I fell asleep. You say, can you fall asleep? I have the gift of sleeping. And I fell asleep eventually. I woke up and said, that was weird. But you never do in those dark periods anything major and decision-wise. You just endure. You think all your logical thoughts, and you think, man, I'm so worthless, and I'm so hopeless, and everybody loves you, tells you you're not, and they try to help you, and you reach out in the future and throw an anchor onto hope, and you hold on to it and say, I'm going to be okay. And then you say, you know, I'd really like to do this. This is so stupid. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any major decisions right now. I'm going to tell some people what I'm thinking, and I'm just going to hold on until eventually I get pulled out of this muck. I'm in the quicksand, but I got a rope, and it's hooked to a bunch of mules, and they'll pull me out eventually. I am not going to just let go of the rope and sink. You do not make major decisions in depression because you do not think logically. Elijah was not thinking logically. He had just, see, here's what he said. I am worse than my fathers and I should just die. What he had just done is he had just turned an entire nation back to God and ended their drought by praying for rain again. The whole nation said, the Lord, he is the God. That's what he just did. And he said, I'm worthless. And God very gently comes to him. Because the Lord remembers we're but dust and helps him. Just make it and trust the Lord will bring you out. He cares enough to come beside you. Right there, he's wanting to die, thinking he's worthless. And it says, verse 6, and he looked and behold, there was a cake baking. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 5. And as he entered and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him. And said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, behold, there was a cake baking under the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And an angel came to him a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He says, get up and eat. And he had food prepared for him. Why? The angel came and said, you need some help. Not, you, what do you, is you should die. You're so wicked. What are you doing in the wilderness? Isolating yourself from everybody who can help you. By the way, when you're under attack, you get driven to isolation. So the devil can destroy you all on your own. And anybody who can help you and grab your, and pray for you and help you and advise you, you run from them. I just want to talk to anybody right now. I just want to curl up away from everybody. And so the angel comes to him and is good as, and God comes to you and he says, arise and eat. You notice that in his depression, what did the angel do? He gave him food and drink. Why? He'd run for 2 days and his body was starving, and neglect of the body affects you emotionally. And he didn't give him a bunch of vegetables either. Amen? Kidding. Gave him something sweet. Praise the Lord. Don't give me broccoli when I'm depressed. That's worse. But he gave him, and he said, eat and drink. And I'm kidding. Eat good. It's good for your mind and body and all that stuff. Always got to do my little caveats. And he says, arise and eat. Then God didn't say, you wicked heathen, what's wrong with you, you sinner? Listen, if you've ever been depressed and know what it's like to be that, and somebody says, what's wrong with you? I'm worse now. Everything's wrong with me, and you made me feel worse. That didn't help. All God did is said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Very gently and sweetly, God came to him and spoke to him and gave him food first, and then he slept. Woke up, gave him food, slept. Woke up and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he tells him about why he's depressed and what was wrong. And God said to him again, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You're better than this. And God took him out. Because remember, there is hope if you have the Lord. Let's go to our memory verse and we'll finish up there. Psalm 55. I'll give you some hope. I'll finish at some point. Psalm 55. And verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He cares about you. He will give you what you need to make it through it. But in your depression, make sure you take time to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Tell the Lord how you're feeling. Say, Lord, I'm going through this. I'm feeling this. And Elijah did that. And you will find God will sustain you through your depression, because depression is just part of life. You get overwhelmed. There's many things that make it happen. But keep hope. On earth, God's going to bless you again more than likely. We're going to tell you, someday, in my Father's house are many mansions. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more weeping. God will help you. So depression's okay. It happened to all kinds of people in the Bible, and God brought them out. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach on depression. Just understanding it a little bit, Lord. I pray today that some people would realize that it's okay. And realize they're not messed up or broken because they go into depression, maybe more than others. That sometimes it's just what we face. I pray nobody here, though, would be overmuch in depression. That nobody here would live there and just stay in the negative, always think in the negative, and always visit darkness. And we live in the light, and when we're taken into the darkness, we remember the light's still outside. And Lord, help us to live with hope in you, for we shall yet praise you, who is our help. And thank you for these verses and these examples in the Bible. Lord, may we learn exactly how to come out of it and learn the keys to this. Maybe we'll do that tonight, Lord. Just help us to understand this and change your attitude on it. Realize there is hope in you always. In Jesus' name.